We have a special offer for first-time donors to Issues Etc. For any size gift during the months of January and February, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Will Wheaton's new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Make your first-time contribution online at issuesetc.org or send your check to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you an autographed copy of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, he healed. It is not the only story of a prison break in Holy Scripture. There's another story that involves Paul and Silas where there's an earthquake and they are broken out of prison. This one is even more striking. Somehow, because Peter has been imprisoned under King Herod, somehow the Lord sees fit to spring him from prison, sending an angel in to open the gates and loose the chains and lead him out on the street, and then the angel's gone. So why does God sometimes let his apostles just sit in prison? You could think of St. Paul in the latter part of his apostolic career, just sitting in prison in various places, including Rome. And why does he sometimes spring them from prison? We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Peter's escape from prison in Acts chapter 12. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why does God sometimes allow his apostles to remain in prison like Paul later in his career? And sometimes he doesn't allow them to remain in prison, but miraculously allows them to escape.
I'm not able to answer the question in specific situations any more than I would answer the question, why does God allow some men to become pastors and others who attempt to become pastors are not able to become pastors? What I will revert back to is God's promise that he never leaves us nor forsakes us, and all things work together to our good. Now, sometimes you can see, for example, Paul remained in prison, but it appears that the soldier who was guarding him came to faith in Jesus Christ because he heard from Paul. In fact, a lot of chaplains will tell you who visit prisons that a jail is one of the best places to share the message of Jesus Christ, because the law has really hit such people, and therefore they're much more open to hearing hope and comfort than if they are out on the street. On the other hand, in the examples you were giving where they did escape from prison, we know that by escaping from prison, they were able to share the message even more. In fact, if you recall, one of the jailers, his whole family was baptized. And in this situation, there's no doubt that with the escape from prison, Peter is able to share a lot of the message of Christianity with those who have become Christian and are really eager. So when you look at your own life, and this is the point you want to get across to the Sunday school children, some of your hopes and your dreams don't come to pass, but whatever comes to pass is always according to God's will and is always for your good. And therefore, we live in a trusting relationship with God rather than a relationship where we can figure out what God is doing all the time. And that's why the Bible says that we are to rejoice always, even when things don't seem to be going the way we want, because God has a purpose behind each one.
What is it that lands Peter in prison in the first place?
Well, Herod, and we need to say a little bit about Herod. The name Herod occurs a number of times in the Bible, and we need to distinguish between three King Herods. Herod the Great was the one who killed the Bethlehem infants. Herod Antipas, A-N-T-I-P-A-S, he was the one who killed John the Baptizer and also was the one who questioned Jesus during his trial. And then the grandson of Herod the Great and the son of Herod Antipas, this is Herod Agrippa, he's the one who was ruling during this time. He ruled between 41 and 44 A.D., about a decade after Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, what he did, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and it pleased the Jews. That's what the Bible says. And therefore, James, by the way, would have been the first apostle of Jesus to be martyred. And when Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, he then arrested Peter. But he didn't want to put him to death immediately. He decided he wanted a lot more people in Jerusalem to witness the death, and so he was going to wait until the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the Passover. And that way he felt he would be able to squash the young church, because with both the first one, James dead, and then Peter dead, who would be left, therefore, to lead the church? And that's why Peter was arrested, and Herod knew about the escape of Paul from prison, and therefore what he did, he made sure, at least in his mind, that Peter would not escape. He had him between two strong soldiers, and he had them also bound with chains, thinking, therefore, there would be no way for him to escape.
And how does the escape actually occur?
Well, an angel of the Lord appeared next to Peter, and there was a light shining in the cell. And when the angel of the Lord told him to get up quickly, not only did the chains fall out of his hands, but the angel told Peter to dress yourself, put on your sandals. And at this time, the Bible says Peter wasn't sure that this was not a vision, because he had recently had the vision. Remember, we talked about that recently, on the roof with the unclean animals, and God told him to eat them. And it wasn't until the angel got him out on the street and left him that Peter recognized, this is not a vision. This is reality. And that's exactly what happened. Obviously, the soldiers have been kept asleep by God, and therefore Peter was able to be rescued from certain death that would have occurred during the time of the Passover.
So let's sort this out a little bit, because as you mentioned, we can't always answer this question of why unless God tells us explicitly. But someone might say, well, he could have kept Peter from being arrested at all. Is there at least, can we discern at least that God does wish to encourage the believers there by demonstrating that Herod really has no power to hold his apostles if God himself does not permit it?
Once more, we're in an area where I'll often ask a Bible class, if you were God, what would you change in this world? And as soon as people start answering that question, that shows a lack of trust in the true God, because there is nothing that I would change in this world. As I think about from God's point of view, he's almighty, he's all powerful, he's all present, and therefore he knows all things. And so everything he does, particularly in regard to Christians, is always for their good. Therefore, whether or not he would have had Peter arrested or not, it's not for me to decide. I look at what happened. Can you imagine that during the night when the disciples and Jesus went to Gethsemane, that Judas forgot where they were going and couldn't find them. Jesus would never have been arrested, which means he never would have been crucified, which means he never would have died on the cross. And I am confident on that Good Friday that none of the disciples were applauding God for having Jesus arrested and come before Pontius Pilate and also Herod. Yet that was a plan of God from before the foundation of the world. In that case, it's pretty obvious how helpful those events were for us. But occasionally, if not more than often, things happen in our lives that we can't quite figure out, why is God doing this? But the Christian believes God has an answer. It's based on a promise, and God never breaks his promises. So that's what comforts us. And remember the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Now, why is that a blessing? Because when you have a rebellious son who may be 2 or 3 years old, he best looks to help from you when something hurts him. Maybe he falls down, hurts his knee or whatever. Immediately, mommy, daddy, mommy, daddy. Through suffering, God brings us closer to him. And the Apostle Paul also makes the point that he had great gratitude that he could suffer in even a little bit of what happened to Jesus in order to have a taste of how much Jesus truly loved him and saved him when he did not deserve it.
He comes to himself, as you said, he realizes, Peter does, that this is not a vision, but he's actually been released from prison by God's divine power. He goes to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark. Is this the Mark of Scripture? Do we know for sure who this young man is, since he's mentioned here?
Yes, there's quite a bit of information about this Mark. In fact, he was very close to Peter, and one can almost say the Gospel of Mark was really a book, in a sense, written by Peter, because that's where John Mark, and that's his full name, came. The mother of John, whose other name was Mark, was a certain Mary. He accompanied, by the way, Paul and Barnabas on their preaching journeys, and because he left the mission team, later becomes a cause of division between Paul and Barnabas. He was a cousin of Barnabas, according to Colossians 4:10, and in time, Paul's relationship with John Mark was restored over time. But his connection to Peter, and this is a point made by the Good Growing in Christ material, they say it certainly gives the Gospel of Mark its proper stamp of apostolic authority.
Then he goes to the house, and there's kind of a case of mistaken identity. What happens there?
Well, what happens is there's a servant. Her name is Rhoda. And she recognized Peter's voice. It wasn't really so much a mistaken identity, but she got so giddy over it that she ran and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. Now, you have to understand, these houses had locked gates before you got to the house itself. And she left Peter outside the gate. It's kind of comical until you remember, boy, if any of the soldiers had been coming by and they saw Peter, he could have been re-arrested. Now, the people say to Rhoda, "You are out of your mind." You know that Peter's at the gate. But she kept insisting. And they kept saying, "No, it's his angel instead." But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. Now, I find the next point kind of interesting. Peter motioned to them with his hand to be silent. Why? He didn't want a lot of noise and clapping and laughter and joy in case others would hear it. What is this? Well, Peter's escaped from prison and then be rearrested immediately. And so we still need to use our heads when even a miracle occurs, so that miracle doesn't come to naught. And he tells the people what had happened to him. And then he says, tell these things to James and to the brothers. And then he departed and went to another place. Now, this obviously cannot be the James that Herod killed, who was a disciple of Jesus. But this James is referred to as a brother of Jesus. And so it's a different James, and we believe he was the pastor or shepherd of the Jerusalem church at that time. And so that's the point of this particular incident, that God had plans for Peter, and death at that time was not one of them, and so he was rescued from certain death.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Peter's escape from prison in Acts chapter 12. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. As you can see from our weekly conversations with Pastor Baker, the Sunday school curriculum that he had mentioned a moment ago, Growing in Christ, centers the mind and the teaching there in the classroom on Jesus Christ and his saving work. Even Jesus working through his church so that through the mouth of Peter, and he mentioned there Mark, likely the gospel evangelist, we have come to know about Jesus Christ as well and have been brought to faith in him. That's the goal of Growing in Christ in each and every Sunday school lesson. You can find out more by getting a free sample from Concordia Publishing House. Just give them a call any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. When we come back, it is maybe a little irony here that after having been thwarted in his plan to put Peter to death and having been successful in his plan to put James to death, Herod dies. We'll talk about that after this. Listening to God's Word, daily prayers, frequent and faithful reception of the Eucharist, confession of sins and absolution, good works. Learn more about the life of Lutheran piety in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. It's written by regular guest Pastor Will Whedon. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. Thank, praise, serve, and obey.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
And when Alexander saw the breadth of his domain, he wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer.
When your family gathered around Die Hard this Christmas, did all the Plutarch make you feel like benighted schlubs? Maybe you need a classical education. St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois is offering a free primer on the what's, why's, and how's of classical education on Sunday, January 28th. The Reverend Dr. Thomas Korchak of Concordia University, Chicago, will preach for divine services at 7:45 and 10 and speak at noon on how classical education truly prepares children for the future. Lunch and a school open house are included. Join Dr. Korchak at St. Paul Hamel. Greater St. Louis's only classical Lutheran school, to learn about
benefits of a classical education.
Find us at stpaulhamel.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Peter's escape from prison in Acts chapter 12. I can't help but notice that we don't end this chapter until kind of the end of the story for Herod comes. Here's Herod, who's killed James. That's no small thing. And is persecuting the church. Would have, I think you're right, killed Peter if he had been allowed the opportunity by God. Himself dying from a direct act of God at the end of this chapter. Tell us that story.
Yes, what happened was Herod, being an unbeliever, therefore, did everything out of self-interest. Well, the people of Tyre and Sidon, he had become angry with, and they came to him, and they knew that they got food from Herod, and their country depended on that. So on an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took a seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration. Now, you can only imagine what the people, how they responded to that. Basically, the Bible says, they said, the voice of a God and not of a man. Herod obviously took that seriously. Immediately, the Bible says, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory. And he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. Well, when I read that in preparation for today, not long ago, Issues Etc. had a wonderful amount of time spent on so-called prophets that are telling us what's going to be happening in 2018. And what was interesting, listening to the tape recordings of what they had to say, half of them said 2018 is going to be wonderful for the church, and the other half said, no, 2018 is going to be terrible for the church. And you made the point with your speaker that these are not prophets of God because they're not following God's word. A person needs to seriously consider that when you're going to stand in the place of God, you better be saying something that is based on God's holy word, not on your feelings, not on what you think is going to happen, because God no longer speaks to us except through his word. And therefore, I'll often say on Law and Gospel, if I say something you don't agree with, challenge me. And if I cannot show you from the Bible where it's at, turn the station. I am a false teacher. And therefore, Herod, eaten by worms, died immediately when he took glory from God. Martin Luther talks about the two kinds of theologians, those of self-glory who look in their own self-interest and love to be paraded around as wonderful individuals, and the theologian of the cross who loves to parade Jesus around as the Savior of the world, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and the only one through whom true comfort can come.
With just a little less than a minute, the basic Law and Gospel for the Sunday school kids in this lesson.
Yes, I would share with the Sunday school kids that, yeah, we don't hear too often about Christians whose chains have dropped from their arms and been released from prison. But in reality, that happened to every one of the Sunday school children during their baptism. I just so happened to baptize an infant last Sunday. And the point I made in the sermon is that the chains of bondage from the devil, the curse of the law, the sins that the baby had done, all of this was taken away in the waters of baptism. And so there was a real freedom that that infant received, even better than the freedom that Peter received from being released from prison.
Pastor Tom Baker is the host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You find a link to it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks for your time.
And thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to continue our series introducing the books of the Bible, getting an introduction of the Old Testament book of Exodus with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We'll also discuss Luke's account of the confession of St. Peter with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Here's what you'll find in the latest Issues Etc. journal. I've written a column titled A Letter to Ex-Evangelicals. Pastor Rob Kieslowski has detailed his journey to the Lutheran Christian tradition, and Dr. Ken Sherb writes about the story of an entire city's journey to the Reformation, Strasbourg, France. We'll send you the Issues Etc. journal for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.